Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. On the teachings of Jesus in the parables, and hopefully that was an insightful service for all of us. It was for me and gave me the opportunity to delve deeper and to study and focus on the parables of Jesus and really be continually amazed by the depth of his teaching, but also I think the pointedness of his teaching. He really didn't mince words. He had a lot to say, and he said it, and I think as we go to the Word with humility, there's so much we can glean if we're willing to not be offended by Jesus. In the ancient Near East, I think the idea of a Messiah who was born in an animal trough, or essentially, or was resting there, would have been offensive initially to the Jews. Jesus carries these kind of unique ways of how to put it. Jesus has a way of upturning expectations. And along those lines, during Advent, which starts next week, we're going to be studying the ways, in the unusual way, in which the birth of Jesus was announced and the way that the pregnancy transpired and what that effect had on Mary. We'll be focusing on Mary all throughout Advent and what is called the Magnificat, or the beautiful song that Mary sings as she's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that begins next week, a special look into Mary and the beautiful things that she said as she was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hard to believe that Advent is starting so soon. It seems like we just came out of 70-degree weather. No mistaking this morning, was not 70 degrees, obviously, is not 70 degrees. And of course, we have this special American ritual that we celebrate in between the beginning of fall and Christmas called Thanksgiving. And that is, of course, this week, Thanksgiving. Now, I noticed Thanksgiving has the connotation of being such a wonderful, harmonious time. And as I listen to people talk, I sense that it also can be a stressful time. There may be travel. One of the busiest travel days of the year is Thanksgiving. We will be doing a little bit ourselves, and I thought, well, we're not going that day. We're going this day. My device is messing with me this morning, by the way. I'm not sure why it's doing that. That's why you see me continuing to swipe here. Stop it. Stop it. I'm not grateful for this morning. But it can be a stressful time, and it's stressful because, you know, when you think about it, we really have very little control about what happens during Thanksgiving. We don't control what politics people have. We don't control how they thought about the pandemic over the last couple years. We don't control what cable TV news anchors they like. And this can lead to a lot of dissension in family gatherings. And in a sense, Thanksgiving can thrust us into an environment where our expectations are like, yeah, this is going to be sort of easy breezy, and these, you know, difficult situations or stressful situations can rise up. So I'm preparing you to have this morning, my goal is to prepare you to have a happy, grateful Thanksgiving. Sometimes a great spiritual offense serves as a great spiritual defense. So I want to put you on spiritual offense this morning for Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul gives us a secret. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And here's the sentence I want to focus on this morning. And be thankful. The latter part of Colossians 3:15. And be, what's the word? thankful. We're going on spiritual offense, remember. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish each other in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and the playlist that we put out the week before in worship to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul encourages at least two places in this passage, the practice of gratitude. And gratitude is very powerful. It is a spiritual practice. When we begin to practice gratitude, there are a few things that happen in our lives. One is we begin to recover from the opposite of gratitude. The opposite of gratitude, or at least one of them, and one of the opposites of gratitude is scarcity. I've talked about this multiple times here at St. Andrews, that this amazement that I have that we walk around in one of the wealthiest societies on earth with the most choices possible as consumers, walking around feeling as if we have scarcity. Do any of us, you don't have to raise your hands on this one, feel like we have too much stuff? Do any of us feel like we could have a whole outbuilding of other stuff? I was so excited when we moved 5 years ago. We were able to finally drive our cars into the garage. You know why? Because we have another garage, and that's where we put all our stuff. If you've moved houses like me, you may have been reminded of how much stuff you have. When we moved into this house in 2017, it involved a move to a rental property first, or interim basis, because our other house sold so quickly. So we moved twice, and each time we moved, we culled layers of stuff that we no longer needed and threw them out. And each time I was like, why am I moving this thing that's heavy that I haven't looked at in so many years? Why am I moving it again? And then I go down to the other garage, and I go, why is this thing still here? Why haven't I thrown it out, given it away, et cetera, put it on Facebook? The amount of accumulation can reach the point in modern society, in the way that we are sort of practiced at living, that it can become overwhelming. I was talking to someone who was trying to rally everyone in the family to come together and go through one of the elders' extensive storage area to decide what to keep and what to throw away. And what she noted was that family members suddenly became very, very busy that day, and their calendars were suddenly full with other things. It's fun to accumulate, but it's not so fun to maintain, store, organize, sort, and eventually discard. That stuff, at least for me, is not very fun. PBS did a documentary years ago called Affluenza, in which they address this interesting modern dynamic. An account of affluenza by a service called Preaching Today reads like this. A number of scenes compare shopping centers from the 1950s with modern malls. The narrator continues in voiceover, by 1987, America had more shopping malls than high schools. Few mall shoppers come with any intention of purchasing a particular product. They buy largely on impulse. As an old sales training film suggests, that's no accident. And in the film, product displays are shown, and a sales manager is emphasizing the importance of impulse shopping. The voiceover says, the displays should make people hungry for as many things as possible, hungry enough to buy a lot more than they plan to. The narrator in Affluenza shows a Potomac Mills TV commercial, and an announcer says, shopping is therapy. Listen to that little voice in your head. Shop, 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 shop. You can buy happiness. Just don't pay retail for it. Gratitude, by contrast, turns the mantra of shop, 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 which plays on the fear of scarcity, I don't have enough. Gratitude turns that mantra around to thank you, thank you, thank you, and I am content, content, content. I have everything I need. Stop for a moment. Do you have reasons to feel content today? Are there reasons why in your life, as you look around, you could cultivate a sense of contentment? Have you reminded yourself of that this morning? Again, we're going on spiritual offense here. We're practicing gratitude. Have you reminded yourself this morning of all the things for which you are blessed? Gratitude is powerful in this regard. Another powerful outgrowth, so it it protects us against scarcity. Another powerful outgrowth is that we develop skills at reframing when we're grateful. When we're practicing gratitude, it empowers us to reframe circumstances. I'll give you an example. Years ago on a Saturday morning, I had been looking forward to some rest and relaxation. Do you ever get to Friday and think, I just would love for Saturday to just be a lazy day and to maybe putter around the house and do a little this and that, but kind of be in slow gear? Well, instead, we had a busy weekend planned, and we had three kids at home, maybe two. No, I think we had three at this point. And so we were going different directions, and I noticed I was a little cranky about it. I was a little like, I don't really want to do that. We had our daughter Emma was playing soccer, and we had a wonderful soccer coach who had the aspiration of always playing in the best league around that he could find. Sometimes that took us geographically a little further away from Mount Airy and Frederick than we wanted to be, and I would find myself in a field in West Virginia, that a place I'd never heard of before, going, how in the world did I land here and spend an hour and a half driving here, and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Some of you are smiling because you've been in this place. So anyway, we're driving to the soccer meet or tournament, whatever it was that day, and I thought, you know, my kids are going to pick up that I'm a little cranky. Emma's going to pick up that I'm a little cranky. So I should probably just let her know it's not about her. So I said, you know, I'm feeling a little edgy this morning. I want you to know it's not your fault. But I guess at this point, I'm feeling like I just don't want to be in this car driving to a place. And I said, how do you think I could handle something like this? What do you think we could do together here? And she said, well, I don't remember how old she was. I'm going to guess about 12. She said, you could be grateful that we get to be together and that you get to watch soccer today. I thought that was a good answer. She was exactly right. She was exactly right. I did have a choice, and I could do the parent, I could do, you know, the parents sigh a lot because it's a busy day and a lot of driving, et cetera, or I could choose through gratitude to reframe my circumstances. I am with this lovely human being that I adore. We get quality time, and I get to watch her play and grow and have fun with her teammates. I could be grateful. I could say, thank you, God, we have each other. Thank you, God, that she has the skill and she can play. Thank you for this time. Gratitude helps us reframe circumstances. Are there any circumstances this week that you might need to decide to reframe now? Maybe there's someone in the family who's estranged or that you're not on good terms with. Like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to have that dinner and be grateful? How could your own gratitude about what is going right in your life help you reframe circumstances? Here's the last thing I want to cover today on gratitude. Gratitude gives us what I'm going to call Jedi Knight powers in deflecting stress and tension. Do you know what I mean by that? In Star Wars movies, there are these folks running around called Jedi Knights, and their mind is so still and they have such calm that they can command the environment around them. The environment around them changes. Now, large family systems, have some level of, let's just call it stuff, going on underneath the surface. Maybe the stuff happened decades ago. Maybe it happened last week. Maybe it happened decades ago and it just kind of reared its head last week. Sometimes it doesn't take much for one person to act out. Maybe a stray comment about an election or something, you know, that's filled with a lot of tension. Maybe there's anxiety or anger or frustration or bitterness or jealousy or envy under the surface, and it just kind of rears its ugly head. Okay? Now, remember, we're going on offense here. So I'm going to teach you the Jedi Knight move in Jesus that you need to deal with this. Okay? Here's the first step when stuff rears their head. Observe. Just observe. Do not react. Do not respond. You observe. You go, You just take a step back. You don't do anything. You just notice. And then, as you're noticing whatever's transpiring, you're also noticing yourself. Oh, what's rising up in me? Oh, I want to say this and so. Oh, that's interesting. You don't do anything. Remember, this is the Jedi Knight trick in Jesus, okay? We have to be a bit detached here. So observe. Observe is really the first step. Second is notice what rises up in you. What rises up in you? And maybe it's something you can let go. Well, they have always been that way. I can't believe. Okay. You have a choice to make. How do you want that dinner to go? Let it go. Let it go. Three, redirect your mind to something for which you are grateful. You know what? That happened, but I'm really grateful for this. Observe, notice what rises up in you, let it go. Redirect your mind to something for which you are grateful. There are extra bonus points given. I won't be there to give you the bonus points, but we'll assume that God is watching. Extra bonus points are given for expressing gratitude out loud. Mega bonus points for looking someone in the face and telling them, you know, I'm really grateful for you and the way you do this and so. It's a choice we have. It's an opportunity we have to go on spiritual offense at Thanksgiving with gratitude. So, how are you going to practice? How are you going to exude gratitude this week and at Thanksgiving? Be in practice every day this week leading up to Thanksgiving. And how are you going to enjoy a wonderful, harmonious Thanksgiving no matter what is going on around you? These are opportunities to practice and to put into practice what Paul encouraged us to do, to be thankful and to practice gratitude. We close this morning the proclamation of the word in a time of silence where you have an opportunity to bring these concerns to God, any concerns you have, and invite God to cultivate gratitude in you. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are a people who have been cultivated to think in terms of scarcity, that if we just had that or that subscription or that new car or that different shaped body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, well, then we would have everything we need until the next time we need something. Save us, dear God, from scarcity by practicing gratitude. Empower us to reframe our circumstances and put us on spiritual offense through gratitude to enjoy, to be truly thankful this week. Dear God, in the silence of our hearts, we pray that you would move within our hearts and minds to bring in presence in our hearts and minds something for which we are grateful for right now. Almighty God, let's say it on three. Thank you. One, two, three. Thank you. In the name of Christ, amen.